Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechMore live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is somebody who I finally can pronounce the name, right? Is it Jeff Matters?
Matters.
Damn it. I struck out on the most simple thing. We're starting this again. We're not starting this again. We're going to go with it. I am the worst name person ever. We had a show on Saturday, and this is live radio, so it's even more embarrassing. Where I'm literally having a conversation with this person, Jamie, who's a VP at, I'm not even going to say her name, Domenici. I got it right this time, even though she's not here. She's a vice president at Salesforce, and we've been working on stuff for a while. So I've like had open communication with her.
Yeah.
And I totally bombed it.
Yeah, well, we've only emailed, so that's...
Well, yeah, it's not like the most complicated name of all time. There's missing T.
You're not the only one, though.
I need, what is Kid Script for Coding we talked about with Codeverse, Katie Lynch? We need like just go back and learn how to read again. Kid Script for Scott's reading, I think. But at any rate, you are the managing director of Network Ventures. So why don't you kind of tell us all what Network Ventures is, and then we'll kind of jump into how it works and what's cool about it.
Yep. So Network Ventures is a seed stage venture capital fund focused on Midwest companies. So I was with Pritzker Group Venture Capital for a number of years, joined in 2008 as a third person on the team there. Saw what was going on the coast, New York and Los Angeles, a lot of really good companies getting built out there, a lot of evolution of their funding ecosystems. And as I look back to Chicago, I felt that there was an opportunity here to bring an early stage fund that's focused on companies that are not quite ready for a true Series A fund, which I think we have a good number of here. A lot of the funds have been successful and moved a little bit later stage. But when you're looking to raise your first $500,000 to $1.5 million, it's hard to, you're raising typically from angel investors who are not necessarily professional investors. And so my goal is bring a more professional approach to seed investing and help companies move from seed stage to Series A.
So, you know, I guess this is a question I've asked a handful of the investor guests that we've had on here. You'd think it'd be more common than it is, but there are a handful of people who have worked at major funds, like you're talking about, mm-hmm. J.B. Pritzker's group and Chicago Ventures, obviously, and, you know, Hyde Park Angels, yep. and all these other groups. There's not actually that many VCs who come out of there and then start their own thing. And I don't know if that's because they non-compete in some cases, I'm sure. Yep. But I don't know if it's because they haven't started their own thing because it's just like I don't know. I don't know. And so I see you doing this and you having your own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that made you think, and of course, this is no knock on Pritz Group, just what was it that you saw as an opportunity where you could maybe use your style and your vision a little bit differently?
Yeah. Well, I felt that there's just an earlier stage opportunity. And at Pritz Group, we were investing in
it's also true.
We had a huge amount of scale and scope of what we could potentially do, but I wanted to kind of narrow it down to just Midwest, just seed stage. Because I felt, looking at what was going on the coast, there's a model there that does not exist here or doesn't exist here in enough volume.
Yeah.
So trying to bring that and kind of owning it from the get-go was my...
So two questions, off of that. It's like, what do you think about, from the volume standpoint, what do you think about, I guess, about that is missing here? What is the thing that is going on in Silicon Valley that is not going on here? And why do you think that we're not able to have that same volume? I have my own opinions, but I'm really excited to see.
Well, Silicon Valley's been around for decades.
Sure.
And so I think there's just
there's certainly more money
ecosystem.
There.
There's more money. There's more startups. There's more second, third, fourth time entrepreneurs that have gone through it. We're still early, and it takes decades to really build out the ecosystem. When I joined Pritzker Group and really started in venture in Chicago in 2008, it was a very different market than what it is 8 years later, 9 years later. So I think if you fast forward another 5-10 years from now, the market here is going to look very different, and you're going to have a lot more companies that have ultimately exited and a next generation of entrepreneurs that have gone out to start their next thing. But tech is becoming a larger part of the overall economy. So by the very nature, there's going to be much more companies that are getting started out of those different sectors that, we're not necessarily traditionally tech. And I think the need to be kind of close to everybody that has within the tech ecosystem is lessened to some extent. You don't necessarily have to be down the in Silicon Valley to get the benefit of the network that you can have. And the learning that you have across the in a market like that. So again, you look at regions like New York or LA, there's a lot of the same building blocks that have made those ecosystems successful are resident here. It's just a few years behind. We're just a few years behind where they are, I think.
Yeah, and the one concern that I've had is, you know, without the fact we don't have many multiple time founders, that's obviously one major part of this for a whole litany of reasons. But the one thing that I think that I'm worried about when it comes to, I guess, really every startup ecosystem, but Chicago in particular, is when you're so reliant on angels, it's not like the dot-com boom when we had the internet and it was the multitude of ways which you could figure out how to use the internet to make money. We have AR, VR, you know, every nanotech, every kind of things, robotics, bots, you know, smartwatches, wearable. There's so many things that are going on. They're so broad that I feel like there's just never going to be enough angels to take on that liability, so to speak. And so my one thing has always been like, how do we find a way to sort of subsidize that? How do we find a way to have angels paired up with crowd equity crowdfunding, paired up with maybe a couple of corporations that want to do their R&D through their venture arm, and sort of package that as your first, you know, early seed round, and then the next one go through ABC.
Yep.
You know, that's sort of the model that I've been trying to work on, or at least try to get in people's ear on.
Yep.
What do you think of that? Like, what's...
Well, it's hard, because if you've never done startup investing and you've made all your money in real estate, going in to invest in startups is a scary thing. And so a lot of times you're going along with your buddy and he says, this is a great entrepreneur, so you throw some money in it, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out, then you're kind of done with venture.
Kevin Willer had a great line. He was at the MHub deal the other way, or 2 weeks ago. And he was like, how many people in here have ever invested in a startup company? It's like all bankers, right? So like a couple of people, yes, but only corporate, never on their own. And it's like, you know, five or six people. How many people want to get invested with startups? And he looks around, it's like, you know, he's like, all right, hesitant ones down. The rest of you, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to put your money in. You're going to have a really great time. It's going to be a kick-ass time. You're never going to see that money again, but it's going to be a really great time. How many guys want to still raise your money, raise your hand and put your money in startups? And it was like, okay, cool. We'll see you at the next show. It's like, all right, man. There are maybe more harmony-built ways to do that. But
yeah, I don't view it as a hobby. So it is a fun thing to work with young entrepreneurs that are building hopefully something pretty interesting. But it is investing, so there's plenty of opportunity to lose all your money. But I think there's also the opportunity to kind of earn that, earn a good return on it. So I mean it. We haven't had a ton of looking back 10, 20 years or so, there have been some funds that have been successful, but a lot of the funds have been more closely held. And so you don't have a lot of, I think once you have people that make a good amount of money in venture, you're going to get a lot more money going back into venture once they see it.
Well, yeah, of course.
So
what would you say are the things that, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit, what are the things that you're looking for and finding success in?
Yeah. So, from a kind of company perspective, looking for founders that have kind of figured something out, they may not have a company. I mean, they may not have a revenue or product yet, but at least they have a good niche that they've been able to do some good customer development around and can kind of point to kind of examples of folks that if they had the product in their hand, their lives would be changed quite a bit. I think Chicago in general has a lot of companies that come out of more traditional industries, but are just now getting into to providing tech for that. So I've actually looked at a lot of tech-oriented services that are taking an old line industry and kind of completely revolutionizing that by lowering costs or increasing efficiency and having some really good success at it.
I love that space. We just had the guy on Saturday. I'm forgetting his name for whatever reason. Oh, it's because I'm terrible at names. But from MyClean. He's out of New York and in Chicago. Yep. We just did the show Saturday. It was great. Another example of a trader turned entrepreneur who found inefficiencies in the cleaning service model. Everyone going the Uber of and realizing that, like, and I said this to him, is I'd love to actually your take on this would be really funny as a potential investor. He was like, you know, everyone comes talking about the Uber model of, and then he's like, then I thought about, he's like, what a great idea until I had one come to my house. I was like, oh, you're just a regular Joe who decided to clean today because you needed money. You know, you'd be surprised how not good at cleaning they are.
Yep.
It's just a totally like didn't work model.
Yeah,
so.
I'm focused on companies building network effects. So you need to have some sort of barrier to entry, because if you're building a tech startup in the Midwest, you're probably competing against five other firms in the Valley that have better access to capital and can outspend you, either on marketing or hiring. And so looking for something that, I mean, yes, Uber of everything should have some sort of real network effect, but a lot of times they don't. And so trying to really narrow in what the what's going to make this really become a winner take most company, and generate some good returns and good barriers to entry for versus other competitors that will likely come in.
Very So I mean, I guess the last thing I would want to kind of touch on with you is, as you build this out, what is it in particular that are the areas that you're looking to, I don't know, really double it? Like, what's the next thing?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a small fund, and it's just me right now. But over time, my goal is to provide value to my companies that is more than just me. So building network effects on the portfolio side. And, I mean, there's a bunch of different ideas of where that potentially could go. But ultimately, just making sure that the companies are connected with each other. They're all going through a lot of the same things, and trying not to make the same mistake twice across the portfolio is something I hope to help them with. So that's kind of where I'm particularly focused, is just trying to build network effects in the portfolio and get the companies talking to each other, to help each other out.
It's so funny to me how, you know, we've had this, we've obviously grown the ecosystem quite a bit in the last 7 to 10 years. But it's still funny to me how many people are disconnected, how many people are not, like, they don't know the key players. They don't have any idea how to meet the key players. And it's like, we were just talking about this in one of the last episodes of this with Sean Frelick, who is, you know, part of our team from the feed, and asking about, like, in school you grew up with Facebook, right? So that was a thing that you had. How is it possible that you don't know how many connections you have that are connected to, say, a J.B. Pritzker? How do you – the first thing I did when I started my company was made a metaphorical board of directors. Who are the people, if I could choose Bill Gates, I put him on that list. And then I went back through LinkedIn and I tried to find out how many connections away I was from myself. When I'm successful, I could reach out to them, and this is how I was going to do it.
Yep.
How people don't do that, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's fun to kind of want to be an entrepreneur, but the ones that really have the hustle and that can kind of connect the dots and really do the work to actually go out and find how they can connect to whoever they need to get to that next.
It's amazing. It's amazing how many barriers, hidden barriers, are out there that people don't know about, and you don't learn about in school. Like, I was one of those people. I thought I finished up at Northwestern, I could take over the world. I'm going to start this company. It's like, you know, obviously two masters. Boom. I'm going to crush. And I walked out. I was like, I don't know anybody out here. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know how to get money. I don't know how to acquire talent. Yep. I don't know how to acquire customers. So it's really, I like seeing more venture groups come out now. And I don't know if you saw Hype Archangels has kind of rebranded themselves the people first thing, and they take a much more friendly approach to things. Yep. It's great to see another venture fund come out here that is trying to help the entrepreneurs themselves figure it out before they implode. Because there's a lot of great ideas that blow up before that because they can't.
I think the sharing of knowledge is something that really started happening over the last 10 years or maybe even 15 years or so. Before that, it was much more closed. I mean, for a variety of reasons, without social networks, without kind of people being as mobile connected as they are now. But there's been a number of great VC blogs throughout the years that I am shocked at how many people don't go back and read some of the old Brad Feld or Fred Wilson blog posts, because you can, even though it's 10 years old now, it's a lot of it's still very, very relevant. So do the homework on fundraising, do the homework on kind of everything, and a lot of what you. It's easier to kind of get all that information now. It's still hard to execute on it, but kind of at least the information gathering is. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you can have tech ecosystems that have the success they've had outside of Silicon Valley.
We literally, it's funny you mentioned that. Good advice never gets old,
right?
And we still have a couple of posts on technory.com from 2012 that are like guidelines on how to start your, do you have a great idea? How do you turn it into a company? How to turn it into a startup? They get sometimes 10 and 15,000 uniques a month. That are just guidelines that were written in 12 because it's, you can't beat a good idea at the end of the day. Very cool stuff. Where do people learn more about, getting invested with you, learning to talk to you? How do people get more in touch with you?
You can check me out at networkventures.vc. My contact information is on there as well. So just shoot me an email and happy to talk.
You know you're tech enabled when you got the .vc going. Yep. Nice. Very cool work. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Thanks.
Before we end the show out today, I want to make sure that we plug Technory's event that's on Tuesday, April 25th, 6 p.m., beginning networking party event, and then the actual showcase itself starts at 7 o'clock. That's at Chase Auditorium. The keynote speaker is Avant CEO Al Goldstein, and coming in from Madison is the very popular Generator Accelerator, who's going to be bringing their brand-new, most recent graduating class. Companies are coming from Toronto, two from California, one from Boulder, one from Madison. And there's some mystery guest as well. I don't know where the hell they're from, but I'm sure it's going to be great. And we should have an after party as well at WeWork if things get figured out. So this will be great. Go to technori.com, find the tickets, or you can go to technori.events and buy your tickets. At the end of tomorrow, which is Friday, I believe, we're going to have tickets go to $20. So you're going to have to go ahead and pick them up ASAP. So I guess that would be the end of our show today. Thank you so much. You can watch this episode and more on technori.com. Download the podcast at iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.